Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Praise the Lord. Well, you know, Friday, we kind of had some severe weather in the area, and something that we go through this time of the year, not unusual. In fact, some of you may recall, there were tornado warnings in some parts of the area Friday evening for a period of time, and I understand in some places they did have some damage. And in fact, I saw in the news last night that they'd confirmed an EF1 tornado, and I think it's called the Hilltop Community. But it's something that we have, you know, and it's something that no matter where you live, you have storms once in a while, and sometimes they can be a very ferocious and terrifying storms. And I know the last place we lived in California, it was not so much, it was the wind storms that we had. And I'm talking just about the wind blowing as it came down out of the space between the mountains there, that little portion of land there that where the interstate went through. And winds blowing sometimes over 100 miles an hour, and that would get downright scary, you know, when your whole house is shaking and things like that, and you can see stuff go flying through the air, and you go outside and you're trying to walk, and for every step you took forward, it seemed like you almost took two backwards because of the wind that was blowing against you. But we've all experienced storms. We've all probably been in some storms that were probably a little bit scary to us. And the Bible talks about several storms. In fact, in the book of Jonah, we're given an account of the great storm that threatened to sink the ship that Jonah was on. And if you remember correctly, this all came about because God had spoken to Jonah and said, "Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh." And Jonah says, "Not me, Lord." Now, maybe he didn't say it that exact way, but he did say it in the fact that instead of heading toward Nineveh, he packed his bags, got on the boat, and headed the other way. He says, "I'm getting as far away from Nineveh as I can go. In fact, quite frankly, God, I don't care if you destroy every one of those Ninevites. I'd be happy to see him go." And probably there's been times in our life, too, that there's been some incident or some group where we really kind of wished harm. You know, "I don't care. You know, kill them all, God." And our God speaks to us to do something, and we say, "No, I don't think so," you know, and we get as far away from it as we can to get away from what God is telling us to do. So we run from God, and that's essentially what Jonah was doing. He was running from God. He was saying, "I don't want any part of this." So God sends the storm. If you've read the story, most of us familiar with it. They're in dire straits. They're throwing the cargo overboard. They're down to the last thing they possibly know to do. And finally, Jonah says, "Guys, it's me. You toss me overboard, you'll be safe." And I don't think they took too much hesitation in doing it. But that was the way that God worked things out. And sometimes we get storms set in our lives because maybe we're running from God. Sometimes it can be other reasons, though, that we have storms come in our life. But in Jonah's case, it was because he was being disobedient to the will of God. He was running the opposite direction of where God was telling him to go. But then we have in the book of Acts, chapter 27, gives us the account of the storm that wrecked the ship that Paul was on as he was being taken to Rome. Now, Paul wasn't running from God. In fact, Paul was being taken prisoner to the city of Rome where he was going to be put on trial. But Paul was walking within the will of God. He was not being disobedient to God. And yet the storm came into his life as well. But remember, if you read the story and you're familiar with it, you'll find out that Paul is telling him, as they're all afraid. And I know Steve was in the Navy, and I can imagine a storm at sea is not fun. And I remember we went on a cruise one time, and it got a little rough one night. And I know how the ship tossed around. And of course, you know, we knew we were, at least thought we were pretty safe, and we didn't really get too scared by it. But I can imagine if we were out there, especially vessels the way they were maybe 40, 50 years ago, and hey, it could be scary. And so here it is. But Paul's walking in the will of God, and he's saying, you know what, if you do what I tell you, you're all going to be safe. And if you go out and you read the story, they were washed up on shore. The ship sank. It went down, but they were, every life was spared. And you find the witness that Paul was able to be to some of the folks that were there, because Paul was walking in the will of God. So sometimes we have storms that come into our life because we're running from God or we're being disobedient to God. And sometimes we have storms come into our life because we're right in God's will and we're right where God wants us to be. But that's what he uses to get the attention of other folks sometimes. So storms can come into our life for a couple of different reasons as to why this happened. We also read about a storm in Luke chapter 8 and in Mark chapter 4. And we're going to go to Mark chapter 4, verse 37 through 39. And it says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves dashed into the ship, so that it was now full." Now, you got to remember, the ship that we're talking about there wasn't one of these things like the Queen Mary or some big ship like that. This was a small fishing boat that's out here on the Sea of Galilee, and the waves get rough. And anybody ever been out on a lake or a river or anything where it got a little choppy or something and the water started coming in the boat? Yeah. And it started to fill up. I can remember a number of years ago when Mary and I were down in Guyana and we were crossing the Essequibo River. They were taking us over to an Amerindian village. And one of the first things they did when we got on the boat is they gave Mel, who was also traveling with us, they gave him an umbrella and said, "Stand in the front of the boat." What in the world is the umbrella? "And hold it down like this, you know, not over your head, but down like this, and pointing forward." And we found out that the waves slapping over the boat, that was to help keep us all from getting wet. And the water begins to come into the boat. And I remember saying silently to myself, "God, surely you didn't send us here to drown us, you know, because the boat's getting water in it." And oh, I tell you, it was not necessarily a laughing moment there as some of this water is coming in and you're thinking about it. And this is probably a little bit what these, maybe probably a little bit more, or not as much as what the disciples were going through here, because they're in a boat and it's in the midst of the storm. We were just in some rough water. And here this storm is coming up and the boat's being tossed and the water's coming over and the boat is filling and they can't bail as fast as the water's coming in. And they're getting panicky and finally, well, let's go ahead and read what it says here. "And he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said, 'Master, carest thou not that we perish?'" Now, if you were going to put that probably in today's English, they'd have said, "Jesus, you want us to die? Don't you care that we're about to die? I mean, we're going down. Do something." "And he arose. He rose up and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, 'Peace and be still.' So the wind ceased, and it was a great calm." God has power over the wind. He has power over the sea. He has power over all these things that come into our life. And when a storm comes into our life, he has the power to calm the storm. Now you say, well, he doesn't always do it. And that's true. He doesn't always do it. Because sometimes we may need to go through that storm for whatever particular reason. Maybe something that's going to benefit us later on. Maybe it's something that's going to be a benefit and a blessing to somebody else. And you say, well, how does somebody else get a blessing out of the storm that's in my life? Believe me, it happens sometimes. People see what you endured and what you went through, and it encourages them and it lifts them up. Sometimes it could even change how they feel and think about God. Because as they watch your life, and remember we talked about the other day, as you're walking the walk, people watch you and they see how you live your Christian life and how you handle things. So it's not uncommon in life to endure physical storms. But God says in the book of Nahum, chapter 1, verse 3, "The Lord is slow to anger, but He is great in power, and will not surely clear the wicked. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet." All of these things that go on in nature are at the command and at the will of God. God can step right in and stop a hurricane right in its tracks. God can step in and stop a tornado right in its tracks. God can step in and stop an earthquake right in its tracks. God has the power over all these things. But as we read in the Scripture, sometimes God uses these things for whatever benefit that it brings to us as Christians and to His kingdom advancing and the things that need to be done. And many times we read in the Old Testament in particular where things happened and there were what seemed like natural calamities, but God orchestrated these things that it would fulfill His will, that certain things would take place. In fact, in Isaiah, Isaiah prophesies against Jerusalem here in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 6, and he says, "Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and shaking and great noise, a whirlwind and a tempest and a flame of devouring fire." He's telling them something that is going to come upon them because they have been disobedient. Sometimes God uses these storms as judgment. And unfortunately, sometimes the righteous get caught in some of the things that take place. But God is in control of the whole situation. He is in control of the things that go around us in nature. He's in control of all the things that go on in our life. David also writes in Psalms 107, verses 29 through 31, "He turneth the storm into calm, so that the waves thereof are still. When they are quieted, they are glad, and He bringeth them unto the haven where they would be. Let them therefore confess before the Lord His loving kindness and His wonderful works before the sons of men." Let's go back to that verse 29 again. "He turneth the storm to calm so that the waves are still." And as I was reading that verse, it reminded me then, that sounds a lot like what is being spoken of in Mark and Luke that we just read earlier when Jesus got up and said, "Peace, be still. Peace, be still." You know, we go through, as I said, a lot of emotional and personal storms as we go through our life. But God is with us. I think everyone on planet Earth, Christian, non-Christian, goes through storms. Emotionally, physically, financially, whatever it may be. They have their trials and they have their problems. They have their things that are upsetting. And sometimes I wonder, we wonder as Christians, well, why, God, do I have to go through this? Why do I have to walk through this place? Why are the waves battering me? Why do I feel like my boat's about to sink? Ever felt that way? You know, you're going through something tough and it seems like nobody out there understands you. Seems like nobody cares. And you sometimes, well, is any of it worth it? My ship is sinking. But we have a God that loves us. And no matter what the storm is that we're going through in our life, He has the power to say, peace, be still, to calm that storm. I remember a few years back, we had just moved here, been here maybe a couple of years, and an acquaintance of ours who had moved here earlier had just moved back to California. And we had been to their home, and we knew what their house was like and where it was located. And we also knew that there was a great forest fire that was taking place in that particular area of California. In fact, our former neighbor sent us pictures of the fire trucks that were parked in front of the house that we had owned, and how that they were being surrounded by the fire department to try and protect that subdivision from the fire that was raging out there. And to the east of us in the city of San Bernardino, the fire was also coming down out of the mountains into some of the homes that were built on the slopes of the hillside there. And because it was an area that had a lot of big trees and growth that had taken place over many years, the fire was burning rampantly. And our friend posted a picture, or sent us a picture, of her husband out praying. And he's standing out there facing the fire, essentially declaring, peace be still. I don't know his exact words, exactly what he said, but that was the essence of what he was doing. He was speaking to the fire. That neighborhood was destroyed, except for one house, their house. They had, if I recall correctly, they had white carpeting or very light-colored carpeting, a lot of white-looking furniture. Damage done to their property. A cinder got in and burnt a really small hole in the carpet. There was nothing left around them, but their house stood out like a beacon because it was still there. So when we're going through these storms and we're facing what seems like something that's going to sink our boat and going to put us in the depths of the sea, God is still there, and we can call out upon Him, and He will be our salvation because He loves us. Amen. If God had not loved us, He would have never sent Jesus to die on the cross. Think about that. If God doesn't love mankind, He would never have sent Jesus to die on the cross. But because of that love, He sent Jesus into the world, that we have a Savior who can calm the storms of our life and bring about peace in our spirit and in our soul when we are going through the depths of despair and the things that it seems like will sink our boat and our life. People sometimes go through times of depression. And if I remember correctly, they were telling me something about this after I had my surgery. I know they gave me some medicine for depression and this, that, and the other. I never took any of it to my recollection because I was not depressed. But I know what they're talking about, because I say I was not depressed, not in the sense that I was in the deep depths of despair and I thought my world had come to an end. There were things that affected me, that's true. But yet I knew that God was with me and my life was in God's hands, and whatever He chose to do, it was within His will and I was ready for it to be done. But some people get into places like that and they get to the point that life is not worth living, and they want to take their own life. And in fact, we were just reading a story on the news this past week of a young lady who I think is about 29 years of age. And she's decided that November, I think it's November the 2nd, I believe, will be the day that she dies. She has cancer, if I recall correctly, brain cancer. And she says, my quality of life is going to be shot. I don't want to just live out till the cancer kills me. I want to choose the date that I die. And that's how some people feel. They're depressed. They're down. They're going through a storm. But God can speak peace to the storm. You don't have to say this storm has overwhelmed me and there is nothing I can do about it. Just I want to take my life. Because God may have plans for your life that you don't even know about. He may have something that's going to be beyond anything you could possibly speculate or imagine to do with your life. Because He's in control of the situation. The thing is, we as people, we try to take control out of God's hand. You've heard the term control freak. That's a person that's got to be in charge of everything. Every little detail. They have to, I don't like the way you did this. Do it this way. No, that's wrong. And they go on down the line. And even if you've done it right, they've got to show their control by making you change it a little bit. And we try to get that way sometimes with God. God, I think I know how to do this a little bit better. You know, I've been around a while, God. I mean, you know, and I've seen some things, and you know, I think I know what's going on, and I got it. I'll get back to you, Lord. I got it. I'm in charge. And that's the way some people get. We know better than God. Got news for you. That ain't right. We will never know better than God. Never will we know better than God. We can't see the future. We can guess at it. Some of you have future plans right now of what you're going to do when you're finished with service this morning. Okay, well, I'm going to go do this or I'm going to go do that. You're thinking about what you're going to do tomorrow. You've got these plans. But none of us know that those plans are going to be fulfilled. But God does. He knows. Because He's in control of the situations in your life. He's in control of the storms in your life. He's in control of what you go through on a daily basis. And sometimes that storm that you're going through is for a witness to somebody else as to how you handle it. Do you ever think about that? Sometimes that storm you're going through is a witness to someone else, and they watch how you handle the situation and what the outcome is. And it can affect their relationship with God, whether or not they have one. Storms. None of us like to go. I don't like storms. I'll be honest with you. I don't like physical storms. I don't like it when the thunder's rolling. My wife likes it when the lightning flashes. When I was a kid, I was scared to death of lightning. That was one thing I loved about California when we moved there when I was a kid. They almost never had lightning. No more crawling under the bed. You know, and then they started getting lightning. Now, over the years, my wife has taught me not to be so afraid of it, you know. She just drags me out in the middle of the storm and watch the lightning up there. Zap.
Here, hold this metal pole.
You know. But I don't like storms. I especially don't like strong winds, you know. But we have to endure them at times. I don't like emotional storms in my life. I don't like health storms in my life. I don't like financial storms in my life. I don't like any of those kind of storms. But there are times that we have to go through them. But we do not walk through those storms alone as a Christian. You can say, well, and those that are married, you're walking through it with your spouse, and you're saying, yeah, we're walking through it together, and that's true. You as a couple, you walk through the storm together. That's the way it's supposed to be. But irregardless, there are times that we can only depend upon that one thing in our life of someone to walk through a storm with us from the beginning to the end, and that's Jesus. Because he's always going to be there. People around us sometimes will fail us. We've all had somebody fail us probably at one time or another. It could be family that failed us. It could be friends that failed us. It could be something on our job that failed us. But Jesus never fails. He never fails. And yeah, sometimes it seems like the thing that's going to sink our boat to the depths of the sea. But he's in control. And he says, all these things will work together for your good. Oh, you may not see it here on planet Earth. But you'll see it when you get to heaven. Amen. And what are we looking forward to anyway? It's not our outcome here on planet Earth. It's not the time, the few short years that we spend here that really count so much. It's what God has in store for us in the future when we cross over and we are now a resident of that heavenly city. Amen. That's what counts. And it will work to our good. And you've heard testimonies possibly of someone, well, I had all of this happen to me, but God worked it out for good. And yes, sometimes he works it out for good here in our lifetime here on planet Earth. And it's a witness then and a testimony to people is what God can do and his power. Storms. I think in the natural we're maybe supposed to have some more this tonight or tomorrow. I don't remember when. And people will get a little nervous probably. And if it gets too windy, we may have some alerts or whatever. But we can know that God's still in charge. That God's still in control. You may get up in the morning and go to work and run into a storm at your job. Some of you may have had storms at your job last week that seemed like it was real, you were ready to pull your hair out maybe because you were facing a storm that was going on there. But God is in control. And he can speak to that storm and say, peace, be still. Not only just the physical storms that we call the storms of nature, but the storms in our life, the emotional, the mental, the physical, the financial storms. God can speak peace to those storms. And Father, today I pray that as this word has gone out, and Father, that what has been said, Father, would touch hearts and lives. Father, I believe this is the message, the word that you had me to give today. And Father, whoever it was for, Father, I pray, Father, that it would bless their life, Father, that it would change their life. And Father, that it would meet their need. And Father, if there's someone that hears this message that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Father, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart. Draw them, Father, unto you, because you are the answer to the storms in their life. I give you praise, for I've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.